Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump is preparing to speak soon about the mid-air collision that took the lives of 67 people in Washington, D.C. ABC White House correspondent Karen Travers.
President Trump will speak from the White House briefing room at 11 a.m. on the mid-air collision between an American Airlines jet and an Army Black Hawk helicopter. The president's expected to be joined by Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. Officials said earlier Thursday no survivors are expected, and the effort has shifted from a rescue operation to a recovery operation. 64 people were aboard the jet and three on the helicopter. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
The collision broke the plane into at least two parts. Many of the passengers believed to still be in the fuselage. Among those on board, members of the U.S. figure skating team who had taken part in the national championships last weekend in Wichita, where the flight originated and where Merritt Lily Wu says,
"Our hearts are heavy."
This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Nationwide report cards released on Wednesday found Wisconsin students above the national average for test scores, but also showed a large gap between white and black students. Fourth and eighth graders across the state scored a couple points above average in math and reading, with eighth grade math scores being the third highest in the country. However, black fourth graders scored 47 points lower in math and 45 points in reading, and 50 points lower in math and 39 points lower in reading for eighth graders, the largest gap in the country. Wisconsin Republicans have introduced legislation that would require state employees to return to their offices. The bill would require all state employees and workers at the universities of Wisconsin system to return to the office by July, as many continue to work from home. Governor Tony Evers has expressed opposition to forcing a return to the office, saying remote work allows state agencies to hire the best candidates from anywhere in Wisconsin. Employees who were allowed to work from home before the pandemic would still be allowed to do so. One person was arrested on Tuesday night after driving off an embankment onto Mesaba Avenue in Duluth, forcing the temporary closure of the road. According to the Duluth Police Department, the crash occurred at around 10:45 p.m. in the area of Mesaba Avenue and West 4th Street. The 26-year-old driver of the vehicle was arrested, and officials say alcohol-related charges are pending. A passenger in the vehicle was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Law enforcement authorities are continuing to investigate the crash. The Ashland City Council has passed an ordinance placing limits on short-term rental properties. Under the ordinance, owners of short-term rental properties will need to apply for a license through the city. They will also need to ensure their property meets the zoning code, has adequate on-site parking, and limits the number of guests that can be accommodated. The ordinance also requires the owner or property manager to be within 30 miles of the property at all times. Officials say the goal is to protect residents near the short-term rental properties. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Wisconsin loses to Maryland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers had climbed to the number 17th team ranked in the nation after a recent seven-game winning streak, but they ran into a hot Maryland Terrapins team that has now won four in a row after beating the Badgers 76-68. Badgers head coach Greg Gard after another Big Ten loss on the road.
Yeah, I didn't think we started the second half real well. The stretch where it got away from us, you know, we had three or four possessions in a row where we missed some pretty easy looks. So some of them point blank, some good looks from three, and then they were able to answer. I think it was 57-56 at one point, and then they hit back-to-back threes and got some separation.
The Badgers women's team snapped an eight-game losing streak with a win at home over Michigan, 82-75. Baseball, Wade Miley is no longer with the Brewers. The 38-year-old lefty has rejoined the Reds on a minor league deal worth $2.5 million and should be ready by May. Wade Miley recovering from Tommy John surgery. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly sunny and unseasonably mild today, a high in the upper 40s to near 50. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 20s. And more sun, but not as warm tomorrow, high upper 30s. Breezy and cooler Saturday with some snow showers. It's 32 degrees.
the Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir. Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk, Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, actor Rick Overton from Groundhog Day joins me to discuss Groundhog Day. Then I'm joined by Chris Hopper and Kurt Krause from the Door County Film Festival. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Jane says. Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text, the number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. It is Thursday, January 30th. The average price of a gallon of milk in Wisconsin today, $3.14. The average price of a dozen grade A eggs is up to $5.23. Delighted to be joined in studio by my guest co-host for the next 2 hours. Angela Lang is here from Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
We're going to have a great conversation. We have a very, very busy show coming up for you today. Coming up at 10:30, we're going to talk to Tyler Burns from the Wisconsin Policy Forum about taxes and how much Wisconsin has been taking in and if that is keeping up with what we are paying out. That will be coming up after the 10:30 news. Hour number two, we're going to talk about schools and especially Milwaukee Public Schools. Yeah. And one lawmaker apparently has an idea for everything that's going to, it's going to fix everything.
It's going to fix all the problems.
Yeah. We'll talk about that after 11 o'clock. Brittany Merlot will be here with Weather and Wine at 11:20. It's going to be almost 60 degrees today. I mean, it's great.
I was surprised when I got here that there was snow on the ground because there's not snow in Milwaukee. I was like, what is happening? I have flats and a sweatshirt on.
Yeah, this isn't normal.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the lack of ice cover and how dry things are with Brittany Merlot, as well as what we could expect for the forecast. I don't think it's going to be near 60 degrees. It's the end of January, people. Yeah. It's not supposed to be like this. So we'll see how long that's going to last. Sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here at 11:33 to talk all things sports balls. And then we will wrap it up with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the 911 emergency edition. Stay tuned for that. We did want to start off, though, with this tragic accident that happened overnight with the collision between an Army helicopter and a flight in Washington, D.C. President Trump making a statement after that collision between the U.S. Army helicopter and an American Airlines passenger jet. This is what the president posted, quote, the airplane was on a perfect and routine line of approach to the airport. The helicopter was going straight at the airplane for an extended period of time. It is a clear night in caps. The lights on the plane were blazing. Why didn't the helicopter go up or down or turn? Why didn't the control tower tell the helicopter what to do instead of asking if they saw the plane? This is a bad situation. That looks like it should have been prevented. All caps, not good. Well, thank you for that.
I feel like Donald Trump's like intrusive thoughts always just win and then he posts them. Like, I'm not going to lie. I also have some of the same questions. Like, when I saw that it happened, I was like, whoa, how did that happen? Right? Like, what happened? What was the communication breakdown? Right? Like, I think we all have those questions.
Absolutely.
But the president in the immediate hours seems to already be, like, placing blame. And it's just, like, that's just... We can compare the responses to previous presidents of how they're like, this is the information we know. We're still looking. We understand. This is a tragedy. And he just like has no self-awareness of any of that. It's just like he has an intrusive thought and they win and they get published to Truth Social.
Absolutely.
Or Twitter.
Instantaneously.
Yeah.
And you're right. Normally, you would hold back on your opinions until more of the facts become clear. But that's never stopped Donald Trump before. I don't know why it would affect him in his second term.
I mean, but this is how mis- and disinformation starts, right? When you don't have all the facts and then you're already putting out an angle, it can take, you know, shape very, very quickly. And then people, that's how you, you know, breed conspiracy theories.
Absolutely.
And so it's like he doesn't add to that. And I think it's just really important to note that we can't be jumping to conclusions. Yes, we all have the same questions. How did this happen? Especially a military thing, right? Like, how did this happen?
Yes.
But you don't, you just don't do that because you're already putting forth a narrative and his supporters don't really believe in facts and reality. So they're just going to run with whatever. And so I'm actually very curious in the next couple of days what conspiracy theories pop up because of this.
Oh, and I think it's going to start right away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're burbling.
They're probably now.
Yeah, burbling even as we speak. And Wisconsin connection.
Always. Always a Wisconsin connection, as Dan says.
New Department of Transportation head,
reality TV star
Sean Duffy, also had a comment this morning talking about this tragedy that happened overnight in Washington, D.C. It is believed now there are no survivors of this crash. Can we play, Calvin, that clip from Sean Duffy this morning talking about this crash?
So I don't know if you all could hear the question. It's a question about the flight path of the helicopter. I don't want to go into too much detail about the information we have from the FAA, but obviously it is not standard to have aircraft collide.
Mm.
I want to be clear on that.
Well, thank you for thank you for that. That's
you know,
it's not standard.
When I saw that, I was like, wow, so profound.
Yeah.
So profound. But it's also interesting that he says, well, I don't want to go into detail. So it's like, it's clear they're cherry picking what narrative that they're trying to say, because initially when you're like, I don't want to go into detail, that usually implies we're still researching, we're still investigating, blah, blah, blah. But he immediately was like, oh, well, we know that this isn't normal. And again, it's already kind of like planting those seeds of blame on the military, which was a choice
to place that.
That was a choice.
Yeah, absolutely. Wisconsin senior senator, of course, never missing a beat.
Never missed the beat.
To appear on his favorite place, because he doesn't seem to spend much time in Wisconsin.
Mm-mm.
But we always know where to find Ron Johnson. He's talking on Fox News.
Always.
His favorite person, Maria Bartiromo. He was on her show this morning. We have a clip from Wisconsin senior senator Ron Johnson. Calvin, can we play that clip, please?
Line expert, and he put all of the blame on air traffic control and the FAA. He said these two agencies, air traffic control and FAA, have been broken for years, and that the last administration tolerated that they were unfit, and they allowed it. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree with him in his assessment. I'm not exactly sure what caused this, whether it was purely the air traffic control system, but I know it's completely antiquated. It needs to be upgraded.
That takes money.
We've known about this for years, and quite honestly, administrations haven't done anything about it. I mean, we're using old technology. We can do such better job. This is exactly, quite honestly, what somebody like Elon Musk could get in here with his effort and really modernize things.
Mm. I'm glad Ron Johnson mentioned Elon Musk.
Yeah, me too.
Because Elon does kind of play a little part, apparently, in this. The head of the FAA, Mike Whitaker, resigned on January 20th, 1 year into his five-year term. He had bipartisan support to take the position of the head of the FAA. Guess what Mr. Whitaker did that got him in trouble? He got relentless criticism from Elon Musk for not approving SpaceX missions quickly enough.
That's right. I did. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he was forced to resign.
Yeah.
Elon wants fewer regulations. You know, there should be no regulations when it comes to Elon.
He's a billionaire. He can do whatever he wants,
pretty much so, yes. And Mike Whitaker resigned. the head of the FAA, January 20th. Thank you, Elon Musk.
And I think these details are really important because I think a lot of times people will see like a tragedy and back in the day, I feel like there was a little bit of unity and folks would kind of come together, but not anymore.
No.
And so I think it's actually really important to connect these pieces and to connect these dots with, you know, the man that resigned and Elon, because like there's always more behind the scenes.
Yes.
And usually it stems from a weird white man largely. And it's like, what is that? How is that impacting the rest of our culture in this country and who gets to make decisions and who's actually running our country? Like, I know people were making jokes that Elon Musk was the first lady. And now people are like, I think he might be president.
Oh, yeah, he's co. He's co-prez. There's no doubt about it. Also chiming in on this tragedy from overnight in Washington, D.C., Republican Representative Andy Ogles, who, by the way, has put forth a measure that Trump should be able to run for a third term. Andy Ogles this morning, also, I believe, on Fox News, asking if DEI played a role in this tragedy.
It makes me think of the bridge, I believe it was in Baltimore, that collapsed, and the mayor, and immediately,
yes,
they were like, oh, this was a DEI thing, just because the mayor was black? Like, since when do we, I mean, it's just clear, if you just want to blame black and brown people, and also, let's be clear, DEI is more than just race, so, like, that's a thing, but the way that they talk about it is just code for black and brown people.
Yeah.
But it's just it's just so interesting because it's they just never miss a moment to like blame diversity. Like you could be all the way over here with one point and they will find a way to stretch an argument if it means that they could blame diversity.
Their ability to do mental gymnastics is almost impressive.
Seriously,
actually, to be that limber.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I was on the debate team. I like to spin arguments. I know how to, you know. I thought I was pretty good, and even me, I'm like, wow.
You're not that bendy.
I'm not.
I have a new suggestion for DEI, by the way, under the Trump administration. I think we should just call it dozens essentially incompetent.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. All his people that he's appointing, and we know that there's some big confirmations coming up today, some very controversial confirmations coming up, and all of those confirmations today, I think, fit that label.
Among those that are having hearings today, Kash Patel to be the head of the FBI.
Which is terrifying.
We could do a whole show just on Mr.
Yes,
Patel.
Yes.
And the way he has cashed, boy, it's amazing how they cash in.
Isn't it?
That's another gift. That's a gift, unfortunately, I think we lack.
Yeah.
Yes, Kash Patel is having his hearing. Also, Tulsi Gabbard is having her hearing. And Robert Kennedy Jr. is back for his second round. If you didn't see any of the questioning yesterday, I highly encourage you to go look at some of those clips.
And there were some real good pushbacks and challenges from people like Senator Warren and, you know, Bernie Sanders.
Oh,
there's some good clips. Even if you don't have the stomach to watch all of it, just even catch the highlights.
Take a taste.
Yes.
Just a little taste.
And then you'll probably be stuck on it and want to watch the whole thing.
You can stay with us. We're going to continue our conversation. Angela Lang is here from Block. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA get going slower.
IZERVAY or Avacincaptad Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Angela Lang filling in for Greg Bach and Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call and text to the same number, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that people are fleeing from like a husky blowing its coat. Join us on Blue Sky. It's much nicer over there. Much, much nicer. Angela Lang, again, the head of Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities, is my guest host for the next 2 hours. Thank you again for coming in. We were talking about this tragic collision between an Air Force helicopter and a passenger flight in Washington, D.C. overnight. There are not believed to be any survivors, tragically. And we're just talking about some of the fallout from this. Donald Trump right now is holding a briefing from the White House press briefing room, and we will have updates as that wraps up. But we were just talking about some of the comments that are coming out. Of course, Wisconsin's senior senator Ron Johnson appearing on his favorite place on Fox News this morning, talking to Maria Bartiromo, and essentially it's Biden's fault.
Always.
Okay. But journalist and historian Garrett Graff posted on Twitter, quote, "Think about this and how Fox and the GOP would politicize an Army helicopter crashing into a commercial airplane days after a black woman president tried to gut air safety and installed the least qualified man ever as defense secretary."
Mm-hmm.
That is the degree to which Democrats should politicize this crash.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, and I think the Democrats don't go on the offensive enough. They're always like backs against the corner and don't know how to get out of it. And I think that there's always many missed opportunities, I think, for Democrats to connect the dots in the way that you are, right? In the way that we're having this discussion, I think that's important. And I don't know why. I don't know if they're just risk averse or they're just don't get a handle. They don't think it matters. I don't understand why not.
Is it the whole we need to be nicer?
We are living under an administration that wants to be a dictator. I don't know what nice is right now. I'm sorry.
But that's what it seems like. It does seem like, you know, and I am.
Fight back. Stand up.
Well, when Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high, I think that's a very admirable thing.
Same.
However, it's a different fight on the ground.
I mean, Kendrick Lamar, in some of his latest songs, he said something along the lines of, like, you know, I'll take you to 6 feet under with me. You know what I mean? Or there was somebody else who said, who actually knows Michelle Obama. I'll not say his name because he got a lot of heat for it. But he said, listen, Michelle is my friend. She said, when they go low, we go high. He was like, listen, I think when they go low, we kick them. And like, that is the energy I have. Because it's like, I think we're living, and I was having this conversation, we're living in a new world, right? And so I think I've been thinking, how do I show up as an ally? How do I dig deeper into this work in a landscape I'm not familiar with? I don't know how to organize. And I don't say that often, right? But it's hard. I feel a little stuck in my organizing. But, you know, at the same time, there's so much, I think, to be done and to accomplish and to paint the pictures, especially the midterms are right around the corner.
Yes.
You know, and I know we don't want to talk about it yet, but it's 2025. It is next year. We know campaigns will ramp up very quickly. And so how are you setting the tone now for why Democrats should be an alternative to this dictator? And quite frankly, that shouldn't be a hard sell.
You wouldn't think so.
But for whatever reason, it is. And I think the Democrats, putting it nicely, need to do a lot of self-reflection of why they are widely unpopular. My friend sent me a poll that I can't remember. I'll look it up during the break. But the Democrats approval rating is the lowest it's ever been. And it's lower than Republicans. And what does that mean when you have a president like Trump that is literally shredding the Constitution every time he blinks, and Democrats still aren't seen as the answer?
That's really interesting.
That's a problem.
That is a big problem, and needs some definite inward gazing to address that. In the time that we have left, Angela, before we go to the break, we were talking initially some of the reactions from a big surprise. A Republican Representative Andy Ogles essentially questioning, did DEI play a role in this tragedy, talking about this collision of these two aircraft last night. And as you said, DEI isn't just for people of color.
Right.
We're talking about people with disabilities.
Women, veterans.
Veterans.
Yeah. Like disabled folks. Like, these are the people that we're targeting, the most vulnerable in our population. This is who we're blaming. But also, again, I can't understand that jump, right? I think, you know, their supporters understand that jump because they want to take any time to blame Black and brown people specifically. But there is a tragedy. The only thing, when I went to bed, and it was like 1 a.m. because I was glued to the screen because I wanted to know, there had been like a handful of bodies that had been pulled out at the time. And then I woke up and I saw that, you know, they presume everyone has passed, tragically.
Yes.
How do you connect that to a failure of being Black or brown, or the failure of you as a woman? So does that mean any mistake that we make as women is automatically a reflection of everything? And I'm not saying that anyone made mistakes. Again, we don't know exactly what happened, but in their mind, they think someone made a mistake. How can I blame some of the most vulnerable populations that we are supposed to be protecting?
Well, and it's essentially, what can I use out of this to move forward with my own agenda?
My political own game.
Yeah, my own agenda.
Ron Johnson.
You always know where to find him.
Yeah.
He's never in Wisconsin,
no.
But he's always on Fox News.
Always.
So if you're ever looking to talk to Rojo, just call Maria. I'm sure
she's got him on speed dial.
She's got a direct line right to him. We have news coming up next. And when we return, we're to talk to the Wisconsin Policy Forum about Texas. That's all on the way. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And I spend a lot of time. The trip we made to Hollywood is etched upon my mind. After all the things we've done, I'm seeing you find another man. The things you think are useless, I can't understand. Are you reeling in the years, sewing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years, sewing away the time?
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The state legislature's Joint Committee for the Review of Administrative Rules officially overturned the rule banning anglers from carrying a gun while fishing. The Republican-controlled committee voted 7-3 with no discussion to overturn the rule that had been in place since 1999. DNR officials say despite being allowed to carry a firearm now, anglers can only use them for protection and can't use them to shoot at fish. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty filed the lawsuit, claiming that the regulation could violate the Second Amendment. Wisconsin Republicans are asking State Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz to recuse herself from their appeal to a recent ruling on Act 10. The ruling from a Dane County Circuit Court judge in December overturned most of the law as unconstitutional, saying it violated the equal protection guarantees in the state constitution. Justice Protasiewicz had regularly expressed her belief that Act 10 was unconstitutional when running for the seat in 2023. The Dane County ruling was put on hold pending the result of the Republican appeal. The Rice Lake City Council has terminated a contract to convert the downtown Rice Lake Heritage Manor into affordable housing. At their meeting this week, the City Council directed the city attorney to inform Move-In Out, the nonprofit handling the renovation of the former nursing home, that their contract to convert it into affordable housing would be terminated. The city also agreed to buy back a property that Wild Daisy LLC had planned to turn into an 8,000-square-foot event center after the company decided against pursuing the project. The Duluth City Council has announced the approval of a contract agreement with the union that represents nearly 500 city employees. The tentative agreement on Monday provides those city employees with wage increases to more closely match market rates, working condition improvements like updated scheduling and workload expectations, and a commitment to retain and recruit more workers to address staffing shortages. The union had previously voted to authorize a strike if they were unable to come to an agreement. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Most people probably remember MTV's Tom Green Show in the early 2000s. According to the New York Post, the host comedian, who also acted in the awful Freddy Got Fingered, left Hollywood in 2021 and now lives on a farm in Ontario, Canada. Green says it was the best thing he ever did because he is not a Hollywood guy. Green has a new documentary called This is the Tom Green Story you can check out on Amazon Prime. Not sure if Timothée Chalamet is getting a taste of the proceeds from resurgent Bob Dylan songs, but it sounds like he should because he's the one resurging. Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in the Oscar-nominated film A Complete Unknown and hosted Saturday Night Live last weekend while also appearing as the show's musical guest. The Oscar-nominated actor played the song Tomorrow is a Long Time, one of his personal favorites. The song did not even appear in the film, but is at number 63 on the iTunes Top 100. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
An extremely warm winter day today. Soaking up the sunshine and feeling like spring, records are being shattered across the state. As we soar into the mid-40s, enjoy it, because we do take a 10-degree hit tomorrow and snow shoves in on Saturday. And we'll be much cooler next week. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Right now, it's 34 degrees.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as things get cheesy. For what's worse, blue cheese or American cheese? The controversy continues. You weigh in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. We'll be right back.
Good morning and welcome, to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Angela Lang from Block in for Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I know you don't want to hear this, but you have to. Tuesday, February 18th. Is Wisconsin's spring primary election. All elections are important.
All of them.
So make sure you are registered to vote. Go to myvote.wy.gov. Make a plan to vote in the primary on Tuesday, February 18th. And even more important, the spring general election, Tuesday, April 1st.
Mm-hmm. April Fool's Day.
April Fool's.
Isn't that something?
Just kind of fits. Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Yes.
Top of the list. For that one, so make a plan right now.
And that election determines control yet again of the court, the same way Janet's election did.
Hugely, hugely important election. The spring election general, April 1st. Go to myvote.wy.gov to make sure that you are registered. Very excited to be joined by our next guest from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. It's been too long since we've had any one of you guys on. Tyler Barnes. Barnes is here. Good morning, Tyler. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. You have a big article, and you can always reach Wisconsin Policy Forum. You can find them on the web about Wisconsin's state and local tax burden, and it fell again in 2024. One of the reasons why I like having people on from the WPF is because you can explain very, very complicated number things. And there are many, many numbers in this report. So where would you like to start, Tyler?
So I think let's start with a broad look at what's going on here when we talk about our tax burden. So what we mean there is if you add up all the income that everybody gets in the state of Wisconsin, you get what's called, our personal income. And then we also add up all the taxes everybody pays from your property taxes, income taxes, those are in the billions of dollars, all the way down to dry cleaning fees, which I think is something in the neighborhood of 300 and some odd thousand dollars a year. We add that all up. And then we just check what the ratio is between what we pay in taxes and what we bring in income. And we've seen a long-term trend of this ratio declining. And that's in part because of income growth, right? So as incomes go up, that gets bigger. We saw income growth last year of 5.2%. Tax collections also grow, even with efforts to keep taxes down. Inflation is always something that happens. Last year, we saw a 1.9% growth in state and local taxes combined. And so as incomes grow faster than state and local taxes, that drives the burden down. So it's gone all the way down now to 9.6%, which is state and local side all-time low, or at least, we have records going back to 1970. And as far as we can tell, that's the lowest it's been. Now, I don't know what it was in 1935, probably lower. But as long as we have records and sort of in the meaningful past, it's the lowest it's ever been.
Is there a sweet spot, Tyler, where we want to be? And if so, where would that spot be?
You know, that's a tough question. I think, ultimately, what you're doing when you're sort of looking at the tax burden is you're saying, okay, so how much do we want to dedicate to the public services that we all receive? So, do we have enough money to pay for the level of public services we want? Do we have enough money to pay for the university system we want, the school systems we want, the police departments we want, the fire departments we want? I'm looking at doing a project on fire departments here in Dane County, and fire and EMS services, they need to be funded.
Yes.
And so, it's really tough to say, well, in an ideal world, it would be 11.7%.
Right.
But, and this is what the political process is supposed to do, right? We have some folks that say, hey, we'd like to spend some more money on this. And other folks that say, well, that's going to be kind of expensive and that'll raise taxes. And, ultimately you come to an agreement. Now, what has been, I think one thing you could say is that in 2000, Wisconsin was, relative to other states, a pretty high tax state. They were, and this is from a slightly different report. We calculate things slightly differently, but setting that aside, 2000, we were I believe, third in the country in terms of what percentage our state and local taxes made up of our incomes. Mm-hmm. Now we're down to, say, mid-30s, I want to say 35th. And so, you know, we have, over that time period, political leaders in the state, voters, everybody together, has made the decision that third was too high.
Right.
Now we're trending downward. And so, again, it's difficult to say what the ideal number is, but you'd hope that people would come to an agreement of saying we want services of this level, and we're going to be willing to pay for the services that we want through our taxes.
That, I mean, that's long been a complaint, that taxes in Wisconsin are too high, and again, comparatively to other states, and this is why our retirees leave. Mm-hmm. And so I understand the goal of reducing taxes, but if I understand this correctly, the less we bring in taxes, the fewer dollars we have to spend on programs which benefit all of us.
Generally speaking, yeah, that's how it works. Now, you know, I think some people may make arguments about, you know, well, we should dynamically score tax cuts because it'll cause follow-on investment, or conversely, we should dynamically score, you know, state investments because if you invest in the university system, you'll get more higher wage folks. You know, generally speaking, the way Fiscal Bureau does it is if you cut taxes, you get less revenue. If you have increased spending, you have less revenue to spend. And that's kind of, I think, a good way to go about making these, you know, budget decisions is if you're going to cut taxes, you're going to have less to spend. And so, you know, yeah, if you want to have lower taxes, especially over the long term, you're going to have less to spend on your government services.
So I got to ask, and I admittedly am not a numbers person, and get intimidated by numbers very easily, which is weird as an executive director that has to do budgets. But what is on my mind right now is Act 12. And, you know, we've talked about all of these things in the shared revenue package specifically for Milwaukee to increase sales tax. It was very controversial.
Yep.
For lots of reasons, including the poison pills that were slipped in there. The mayor last week did an interview with a friend of mine, and you know, he basically said, like, well, the alternative is that, you know, we could have gone bankrupt. So can you maybe explain to folks, or talk to folks, maybe the impact on that shared revenue bill specifically in terms of Milwaukee, and how maybe that could play a factor, good, bad, or otherwise, in some of this?
So one of the things I did need to mention about this data is we don't actually, in our tax burden calculations, include the new sales tax in Milwaukee County, because just because of the way the data is collected, it'll appear the next year when we do this report. You know, one of the things about Act 12 is, you know, created the sales tax, two new sales taxes in Southeast Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, but it did increase shared revenue. That bill tended to focus more aid on less populated areas, less mm-hmm. property value areas with less property value. And so, you know, there were definite, that was a massive expansion in aid to local governments from the state. That was an acknowledgement that, you know, local governments have been squeezed pretty hard over the past 15 years.
Not just Democrats either.
Right.
Right. But, you know, cities like Madison, cities like Waukesha, and the state aid didn't do very well, whereas, you know, some smaller rural areas did worse. And then, you know, thinking about the sales tax in the Milwaukee area is, you know, one of the things about Milwaukee is it's sort of the center of a lot of economic activity. A lot of people are coming into town from, you know, the surrounding five county area. Interestingly, a lot of people commute out of Milwaukee too. I always like to point that out. People commute to Waukesha County for jobs. It's not just a one-way street.
Sure.
But all that being said, a lot of people come to Milwaukee, they need services, but they're paying property taxes in, you know, Waukesha County, in Washington County. They're not necessarily paying for those services that are happening in Milwaukee. And so the sales tax allows a little bit of that capture, right? I come over there, watch a Brewers game, you know, spend some money on the way out of town. I didn't pay any property taxes, but now I'll have contributed a little bit more. And so, you know, from that point of view, having a sales tax can be useful. And then the other great thing about sales taxes is they do capture growth. You know, we have income, economic growth, inflation that gets captured. The downside is sales taxes tend to make inflation worse, right? Because they're on the price of a good. They also are really volatile. So, you know, when there's growth, you capture that growth. When there's decline in sales activity, when there's decline in people buying cars, that goes down. And sure. So, you know, from a sort of, my first job was as a budget analyst for the state, and, you know, projecting sales tax is not down. And so that's kind of one of the things that, you know, thinking about this Act 12 as a whole, it will be a benefit for the city and the county on that sales tax point of view, but that is a more volatile revenue source.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Tyler Burns is here from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and we're talking about taxes in Wisconsin and what we're bringing in and how much is getting shelled out. And I just find it interesting, Tyler, that, and one of the reasons why I threw in, it is not just democratically run cities that are having budgetary issues. The Waukesha County has tried to pass another sales tax. This just came up in Brookfield as well, because we can go back to, I personally like to go back to Robin Voss and the Wisconsin Republicans who have been starving and essentially not refusing to pay out any money to help these municipalities to the point now where they have to go to their constituents and say, look, we're going to go broke if we can't, if we can't do this.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you make an argument for, you know, these referendums that are saying, well, this is part of the political process where, well, if folks want to have higher spending in their area, they can go to the polls and vote themselves a property tax increase. Although, you know, I know that can be hard on people. We really in Wisconsin put a lot of weight on our property taxes, especially for funding local governments. And so, you know, in the event that we're not able to meet, you know, again, and low governments, they pay a lot for things like police, for fire, for EMS, you know, streets. And so this, you know, if we don't have these funding mechanisms in place and we end up having to go to referendum for any time we need to change our funding source, you end up with, you know, winners and losers and, you know, you end up with a really uneven,
unbalanced,
you know, set of services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned the EMS services. This is an issue all across the state, especially in smaller communities where a lot of those EMS services are volunteer fire departments.
Yeah. And, you know, we're getting a little off of the fiscal issues, but I've been working on this EMS project. And so it's top of my mind. But, you know, the number of calls for fire and the number of calls for EMS, you know, ambulances seems to be going up more rapidly across the state than population growth.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to get too far over my skis here because I'm just looking at data from a couple communities and kind of looking around. When we do service sharing reports, we look at comparable cities, we look at trends over time. The upshot seems to be that people are relying more on emergency medical services across the state more frequently than they have been in the past, and that's going to be more expensive. And as you say, rural areas, you know, where it may take 10 minutes to get an ambulance, well, that 10 minutes, if it's 10 minutes to 12 minutes, could be the difference between, you know, somebody making it or not.
Absolutely.
And, you know, again, going back to this initial conversation where we're talking about, well, what service levels do we want to have? Okay, if we want to have a specific service level, are we going to be able to pay for that specific service level? And so, you know, all these numbers, you can add them up, and, you know, that's been my job. I have giant spreadsheets, but really it's a decision about, going back to that, what service level do you want to have, and would you like to pay for that service level? And that's the ultimate question.
We're going to continue our conversation with Tyler Burns from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We're going to talk about sin taxes. Are we sinning less? I know I am. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Angela Lang from Block, in for Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you haven't done so yet, download the Civic Media app. We have done a whole bunch of updates. Go to wherever you get your apps. Go to your app store. Look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. That gives you the ability to listen to all of the stations all across the state. You can call and text directly to whatever show you're listening to. And it is absolutely, as Greg likes to say, free. If you're just joining us, Tyler Burns is here from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. They have a big article out about taxes in Wisconsin, what we're pulling in. And this kind of caught my eye, Tyler. So-called sin taxes. These are taxes on cigarettes, tobacco and vape products, liquor, wine, beer. Revenues from these sin taxes fell by 7.4% last year. Are we sinning less?
My wife is a minister. I may turn the analysis of that over to her specifically. It does seem like we're smoking fewer cigarettes.
That's good.
That is good. You know, that's been the big drop, and that's another, you know, one of these long-standing trends. You know, back in, say, 2010, cigarette tax brought in $600 million. That was kind of the big, I don't know if you remember, the Doyle administration made a big, you know, increase in the cigarette tax,
right?
In part to curb smoking, in part to fill revenue holes. That's kind of a high watermark. It's been consistently declining now to where in 2024 it brought in just over $400 million. Now, as you say, it's good that people are smoking less from a health standpoint. That means, you know, people are having fewer heart attacks, less lung cancer. You know, I think it's pretty clear that smoking less has health benefits.
Sure.
And that has benefits, you know, go out throughout the rest of the sort of healthcare system and the state system. But in terms of, you know, a revenue hole, $200 million, that's a pretty big hole to fill. That can pay for a lot of things. And so, you know, this is a good example of where a behavior that's probably good for the individual and probably good for society as a whole is negatively impacting the balance sheet of the state's general fund. And, you know, we do seem to see fewer, gallons of beer being sold. People seem to be, drinking a little bit less, especially on the beer side. Again, that doesn't really have quite as big of an impact on the state's budget. We last raised that tax in 1970.
1970?
Yeah, the vote, I think, was actually 1969. 1970 is the last year that we have. And we brought in that year $8.1 million. And in 2024, we brought in $8 million from the beer tax. So people drinking less, again, may have health benefits. That has less of a less of an impact on the state's balance sheet. I've read a couple articles recently about breweries having to shut down.
Yes.
Bring that up, yeah.
Yeah.
That may have health benefits. The state, we have issues with binge drinking, drunk driving, those sorts of things.
Yep.
So, overall, again, socially, it may be better. But for individual businesses, Wisconsin's culture, I'll have a couple
but
beers
for individual
there.
Businesses.
Culture may impact negatively, the economic prospects of some folks out there.
Well, and again, certainly it is great that fewer people are smoking. I am a social pariah. I still am dealing with that monkey on my back. I'm working on it, all right? But I have long said this, Tyler, that especially smaller municipalities, if everyone quit smoking, that would have massive financial implications.
Yeah.
It really would, because so many of our communities and our states are dependent on this money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, if we're seeing a decline there, that's part of the overall decline in tax burden, right? It's just simply there's fewer dollars of cigarette tax coming in. And so, that makes that burden lower. Luckily we've seen sales tax growth. Luckily we've seen, a change at the federal level of corporate income tax. So we've been able to, over time, make up that hole in the general fund. But again, that's money that otherwise would have been there. And so, the trade-off is something to think about.
Are you anticipating that Wisconsin's going to be facing a crisis? I mean, again, mm-hmm. we still have that $4.5 billion that is just sitting there, but that's not the panacea to fix everything either, because that is a finite amount of money.
Yeah. So the there's the balance, and then, going forward, there's $4 billion balance, which actually a Fiscal Bureau memo just came out. It's likely to be $4.3 billion, expecting a little bit more sales tax revenue, again, in part because inflation just hasn't really slowed down the way that was projected, especially as interest rates have stayed high and the potential for tariffs and all these sorts of things, uncertainty about the economy going forward. But so we're in a good place. We're in a better place than we were 15, 20 years ago, but we can't just go ahead and fund every priority that's out there, because this is a balance. It's a one-time thing. And going forward, we have solid revenues, solid expenditures, but we can't just sort of do the laundry list of tax cuts, new spending, everything out there. That would put us back in crisis state.
Tyler Burns with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Thank you so very, very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
I just have one suggestion. Put a sin tax on kale chips, because that should be a sin. They're terrible.
Agreed.
Thank you for your time. News is coming up next. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Dom Selvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel will break down the litany of executive orders and memos. Also, what are your rights as a U.S. citizen if you get nabbed by ICE? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump addressing the nation in the White House briefing room, saying of last night's collision over Washington.
I speak to you this morning in an hour of anguish for a nation.
Reagan National Airport is back open. It had been shut down following the crash when a Black Hawk helicopter hit an American Airlines regional jet, killing all of those and both aircraft, 67 people in all. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says the crew on board the chopper was experienced and had night vision goggles. They were on an annual proficiency training flight when the crash happened. As for the cause,
we anticipate that the investigation will quickly be able to determine whether the aircraft was in the corridor and at the right altitude at the time of the incident.
It's been confirmed some of those people on the board the plane were part of the U.S. figure skating team. They were competing in Wichita last weekend. That's where the plane and the flight had originated. This is ABC News.
I'm